Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, hope you're having a great start to your Thursday morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, live this morning on Rumble.
Rumble. R rolling. You know, some people don't know how to roll their R's
I've
like that.
I've heard that.
In fact, I was at one of my sisters who can't do it.
But
it's pretty
being
funny.
The great master of voices that I am, I'm pretty good at that.
That's true.
Rumble.
Burrito.
Yeah, thank you. It helps if you're faking an Italian accent too. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. I got a message this morning on somebody on Facebook. Are you finally done with Facebook? And I'm like, well, probably not. It's just that one of their bots banned us for no good reason, and we can't carry the show live on there right now. And whenever their little ban gets lifted and we're out of Facebook jail, we'll probably go back to it. But we won't not do Rumble. We'll keep doing Rumble, and we do Twitter, we do X. And you're welcome to tune in however's most convenient for you. We appreciate you doing that. You can always download the podcast at 971talk.com or wherever you get your podcast, if that's the easiest way for you to get the show, and you can listen to it a little bit later. Had a great guest on last hour, by the way. Joel Chernoff joined us. He is the head of a humanitarian organization called the Joseph Project, and taking supplies and everything to Israel. He was there on October 7th, and he gave us his point of view on what needs to happen now that Iran has lobbed, 180 missiles into Israel. He's calling for some pretty swift action. So we'll see what happens today. Today is Rosh Hashanah, by the way, the Jewish holy day. It's their new year, so happy new year to all of our Jewish friends out there who are listening this morning. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jim Talent. I'll also pick his brain on the Israel situation because, he was floated as a defense secretary for a while under the Trump administration. So I'm always anxious to hear his take on how U.S. policy is impacting what Israel's doing and how quickly they're doing it and whether or not they're doing what's in their own best interest. We'll get Jim's thoughts on that, maybe on the debate coming up in a few minutes. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about the voter guide. I'm a no on 3. I've got all the amendments listed on there. But there are things about Amendment 3 you need to understand that go beyond the abortion issue. And to even parental rights, right? Whether or not you have the ability to decide what is in the best interest of your children. And this is something that's not been getting a lot of publicity, a lot of airtime. And I'm going to let Mary Catherine Martin come on here from the Thomas More Society. She's an attorney for them, and she'll point some of those things out. But right now, first, we want to get to our top stories. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
It's pure election interference to get an incompetent person like Kamala. She's grossly incompetent. She's more incompetent than Biden to get these people elected.
Yeah, he's talking about Jack Smith filing, some new public document on why he's now convinced that Donald Trump was acting as a private person on January 6th. Whereas before he didn't claim that, but when the court smacked him down, he had to come out and now claim this, and the mainstream media is acting like it's some blockbuster allegation. And there's not a single new thing in there.
Do you want to clarify the comments that you made about school shooters?
Yeah, and look, you've got to see me. These folks know me. I'm super passionate about this. The question come up about school shooting, we're talking about everything except school shooting.
Okay, that is that's Waltz. You know, he's a little bit of a knucklehead, and he's still trying to explain why he said he was best friends with school shooters. I don't know if he accomplished his goal.
But here's the thing. This natural disaster is incredibly consequential. The last thing we need on top of that is a man-made disaster. What's going on at the ports?
Yeah, well, you know what, Joe? You have the power to stop that from being a man-made disaster by invoking Taft-Hartley, but you won't do it because you're sucking up to the union vote. Give me a break.
Walls did seem unsteady, and frankly, what I saw in Walls is somebody who has not faced questions on a national stage since he became the Democratic nominee.
Ooh, the media letting it slip a little bit yesterday. You know, the only polls that showed that debate anywhere close to even, Kim, were CBS and, not surprisingly, CNN.
Maybe their poll was just among their staff.
I don't know. I think it was an internal poll among Caitlin Collins and Jim the Acoster, and maybe they included Rachel Maddow in that over at the other network. I don't know. But they're the only ones that thought it was anywhere close to even. Everybody else who's looked at this has admitted that J.D. Vance owned that debate. He owned Tim Walz. Walz might have recovered a little bit from his initial faltering with his bug-eyed looks and agreeing with Vance. Some of the left is mad at him because he agreed with Vance on some things. Listen to this montage of the media critical of Walz, I should say, immediately after the debate. Listen.
Walz did seem unsteady, and frankly, what I saw in Walz is somebody who has not faced questions on a national stage since he became the Democratic nominee. In contrast, J.D. Vance was very smooth.
I was getting texts from Democrats, panicked, quite frankly, who were saying, wow, he's really moderating himself on a lot of these issues. He's the most likable he has ever been.
He seemed at many moments to be reasonable. Walz did not seem prepared for it.
I mean, a lot about this debate tonight was weird. There were uncomfortable, cringy moments.
There were so many niceties on that debate stage tonight. I am just kind of like, well, if you agree so much with J.D. Vance, why should they vote for you? All
right. They were mad.
I thought Walz might actually decide he did want to vote for J.D. Vance after all of that. It was odd how much they agreed, and I think it's funny now that the Kamala Harris campaign has come out and said that Walz is going to begin this media blitz. Well, he'll be doing some network news interviews that he should have been doing for the last couple of months, and he's going to do what they're referring to as a top pop culture podcast, though I don't believe they've announced which one that will be.
What about the candidate who wants to be president?
Yeah, she doesn't do interviews,
Mark.
I don't
care what Walz does. You need to put her out there. If you want to prove to people she's not incompetent, put her out in front of not friendly media. Friendly media will not do her any good because they won't ask her any hard questions.
He's better on camera than she is. I mean, he's not that great because especially in the beginning of that debate, he did seem unsteady. He got more comfortable later. But let's be real. Every time she opens her mouth in these interviews, she starts talking about AI and buses and Venn diagrams and coconut trees and things that make no logical sense.
I'll use a little football analogy for you. The only thing that a prevent defense prevents is victory. They're playing a prevent defense right now, and it's not working for her. I don't want to give them any tips on what might help them, but if she's not out there talking more, you can't cover that up. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it just annoys the pig. And that's not a reference to Kamala Harris. That's just an analogy. I'm just saying. You can't put lipstick on a pig and make the pig look any better. That's not what all they're doing is putting out what her positions are without having her say it. That's not accomplishing anything. So they're going to have to reconsider that. By the way, we got Jim Talent coming up, former Missouri senator, anxious for his thoughts on what's happening over in Israel right now and when and if they might strike back at Iran and what that should look like. And we'll get to that issue on Amendment 3 at the bottom of the hour. We're back in just a minute. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biden says that Israel shouldn't go near Iran's nuclear sites, that that should not be part of the response you're considering. Is Israel heeding that message, or is that still something that's on the table?
We have an open dialogue with the administration, but, you know, I want to weigh the question, what we want to do, to wait for Iran to have a nuclear capability, and then they can put that on ballistic missiles and launch nuclear ballistic missiles into Israel? When you see a rogue nation that is sending 200 ballistic missiles into civilian population, you have to stop them. So
all right, we've got former Senator Jim Talent joining us this morning. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, that was one of the Israeli ambassadors who was on with CNN yesterday. And he's like, what do you expect us to do? You got the Biden administration once again trying to dictate to Israel how they respond to this situation. Can you imagine if we had 200 missiles fired into America, how we'd react if a foreign country was telling us what to do?
Yeah, and the Biden administration has such a great record of advice and pressure on Israel, right? Yeah. In other words, it's like, okay, you can't relocate the civilians in Rafah. It'll take you 6 months. They did it in 3 weeks. Don't go into Rafah. It's a red line. You'll lose thousands of people. They went into Rafah, lost hardly anybody. You have to agree to a ceasefire, stop short of winning. You can't win until we have a two-state solution. They went in and won over and over again. And, Mark, I've said before, and I think it's hard for common sense people to believe, but the Biden administration's pegged its whole Middle Eastern policy on the idea that Iran can be turned into a partner or a friend. Okay, that's why they unfroze their assets, didn't enforce the oil sanctions, took the Houthis off the terrorist list. That's the whole strategic assumption. And, of course, it's wish casting. It's like everything else they do. And so the people in the region, not just Israelis, but, you know, the Arab countries as well, the Gulf states, Egypt, Jordan, they just, you know, you get frustrated to the point you just give up on people who aren't living in the real world. And I think that's how they view the Biden administration. It's one of the reasons we need somebody who has some common sense in the White House. And, you know, we know who that is. Let's see if we can get him there.
Yeah, well, what are you expecting? What I mean, I've heard that they plan a measured response. And then I heard the administration raise concerns. Well, if they bomb the oil facilities, it's going to raise oil prices for Americans. I mean, I think that's got to be the least of our worries right now. What are you expecting them to do?
Well, on that point, it wouldn't be raising the oil prices if we were producing energy.
Yeah, thank you.
We did under the Trump administration. I think the Saudis are going to be very cooperative on that. And remember, they have oil reserves, which they can release. I mean, they can start pumping more oil. The Israelis, they finished in Hamas. They have decapitated Hezbollah and also taken out their arms and legs as well. I mean, Hezbollah is a shadow now of what it was. It's still very capable. And now the Israelis are moving on the ground into southern Lebanon because they have to push Hezbollah back beyond the Litani River so that their people can return to their homes. Okay, so my point is, I think the Israelis understand this is probably not the final exchange with Iran. They're anticipating that they're going to have to do more down the road. And so I think they will calibrate their response in terms of that. If the Israeli government, and not just Netanyahu, is paying any real attention to what the Biden administration says on the merits of what they're saying, I would be very surprised. I want Trump to win. This is an election season, but that's just common sense. They have to have concluded that this American administration simply doesn't understand anything about the Middle East.
Jim, what were your thoughts on the vice presidential debate from the other night?
Well, I felt vindicated because you remember when I said on the show when we were talking about who Trump ought to pick as vice president, and I always have the same answer, having gone through this, with the Romney campaigns, you want somebody who's a good communicator. And Vance is a good communicator, and he showed it. He did an outstanding job of talking about what the Trump administration accomplished and why, the failures of the Biden-Harris administration, and I thought he did a really good job of offering hope to people.
Yeah.
He kept saying, look, it doesn't have to be this way. We really can have a government that works on our behalf, and the country will really improve when we do that. And so I thought he did an outstanding job. And then Waltz just, blew himself up. But in failure to Waltz, in fairness to Waltz, it's a tough job to defend Kamala Harris's record.
Yeah.
Especially since you don't know what falsehood they want you to be telling that particular day, right?
Yeah.
In other words, what can I say about this? Waltz has got to ask himself this question. Which version of Kamala Harris am I supposed to say is the true version of Kamala Harris today?
That's a great point. Jim Talent, thank you. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep, always great getting you on here. Former Senator Jim Talent there. Coming up, we're going to talk voter guide, the election, a little over a month away now, Amendment 3, which is the abortion issue. And there are things about that I'll guarantee you don't know, because it's a lot of legalese. And we're going to talk to one of the senior counsels from the Thomas More Society to get the latest on what this thing could really do beyond abortion. We'll be back. So the voter guide is up on the website. You can print it off. It's got all my selections for the five amendments that are on the ballot in a month, right? You need to understand these before you go into the voting booth because they're complicated. I give you a simple yes, no on there, and then I explain my reasoning on each of these amendments. Now, you can go to 971talk.com. I put a link up there on the Facebook page if that's where you are. I truly encourage you to think this through. Amendment 3, of course, is the one we've talked about the most because it's the abortion amendment. It's the one that would enshrine abortion up until birth in our Constitution in Missouri. It's a travesty. The lies on TV that I've seen about it are amazing. The ads they're running, millions of dollars from out-of-state money is being spent on this. And this morning, we have Mary Catherine Martin with us. She's senior counsel with the Thomas More Society. And Mary Catherine, thanks for your time this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark.
Yeah, let's talk about what's in Amendment 3, because if all you're seeing are the TV commercials lying about this, you're not hearing all the truth about what this would do beyond just the abortion issue.
Absolutely, Mark, and it's a lot worse than that even. But I completely agree with you that, and what I mean by a lot worse than that is even if you read the amendment, you're going to have a very hard time understanding what's involved. And so I'm here, I was in front of the Supreme Court arguing against the amendment based on election law violation. And in the course of that 28-day whirlwind, I became the greatest living expert on what's actually in this amendment. And so I'm trying to help people see through two very important lies. One is, because these are lies spread by the ACLU so that the amendment will win. One is that it is about abortion, even primarily. It is about abortion, but abortion is the tip of a massive iceberg. And the other one is that it is ambiguous. It is deliberately confusing, but it is not ambiguous. And in my opinion, it's perverse. But one of the things they're saying to defend the amendment, try to get people to vote for it, is we can't know for sure what it's going to do. Now, that is a very strange thing to say about something that you want people to vote for. But it helps them because then they're trying to make us look crazy for saying what's actually in it. So let me just make clear one thing, and this should be enough for anyone to vote against it. This does not create a right to abortion. It creates a right to make decisions in everyone, children included, on all matters relating to reproductive health care. Now, I would love everyone to go print this out and mark it up, but I'm going to give subsections and maybe they could write down what I'm going to say. But in subsection 2, the main operation of this amendment is to create a right to make and carry out decisions, even for children, in, quote, all matters relating to reproductive health care. The sentence goes on to put 7 examples, one of which is abortion. But those 7 examples are just examples. They are including but not limited to those 7 examples. All matters relating to reproductive health care is a universe with no boundaries. And all matters relating to reproductive health care are going to be protected as much as everyone's talking about abortion will be protected, and actually more in our Constitution. All matters relating to reproductive health care includes things the 7 examples they give us to distract us, right? It includes things we know about that they do not name, including at least 4 things Missouri has banned, including children's gender transitions. And then it includes, and all reproductive technologies would be in all matters relating to reproductive health care. But it also includes things we haven't thought of yet. Anything that comes up in the area of reproductive health care under this amendment will walk into Missouri on a red carpet. Okay, I mean, it creates a fortress in our Constitution that's higher than any of our other rights that protects anything related to reproduction.
Wow.
And that alone is enough. No one is in favor of everything that will ever be thought of in the area of reproduction. No one. And that's what they do not want us to talk about, right? They're distracting us with abortion. Yes. Or they're saying it's not certain, it's ambiguous. All matters relating to reproductive health care is undefined, but it is not ambiguous.
What does it say about parents' rights, about stripping parents of their rights?
Absolutely. Now we go to subsection 3. This is where the right to reproductive freedom, all matters relating to reproductive health care, becomes higher than any other right you have. Okay? It defines the standards for limiting the right to reproductive freedom, and the standards for limiting it are higher than any other right. Let me just be clear, your speech, your religion, all of those things will be secondary to this right.
So
even for your children. And that is because it narrows, any restriction has to meet 3 requirements, and here's where parents get cut out. The 3 requirements for a restriction on anything relating to reproductive health care include, 1, any restriction has to be designed to protect the person receiving care. It sounds innocuous, but what that means is nobody else. Nobody else's interests, including parents, including the other parent of an unborn child, including society, including public safety, including the medical profession, all those interests are immaterial. They cannot limit the interest to reproductive freedom. Okay, so they're off the table. So the parents are off the table. Now, the third one, restriction there, and again, I wish people could print this out and underline it. Another requirement is that any restriction cannot limit the autonomous decision-making of the person seeking care. So even if we could say that a parental notification requirement met the first requirement, it's good for the health of the child that their parents be involved, still can't have a parental notification requirement because that would limit the, quote, autonomous decision-making of the person seeking care. So it's doubly prohibited by this compelling interest test in subsection 3.
I was going to say, let's just say that this passes in November in Missouri, okay? And there's a minor, a teenager who wants to do gender reassignment surgery, and the parents say, no, we do not support that. Does that mean that Child Protective Services could essentially come in and remove that child because they would deem it unsafe that the parents are not affirming their decision?
Well, that's already happening around the country.
Well, we know it's happening around the country, but
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's not that child can go to court. I'm sure a lawyer will show up and represent them for free because this is how Missouri's law is going to get changed under this. OK, they'll go to court and they'll get a declaratory judgment or an injunction saying that they cannot be stopped from getting the care that they want. Absolutely, it'll play out in Children's and Family Services. But that's how this law, it changes the structure beneath all of these rights. right? Well, so suddenly the child's right will be above the parents.
Wow. Mary Catherine Martin, our guest from the Thomas More Society. You know, I highlighted something in my voter guide here regarding subsection 4, where it says, under no circumstance shall the government deny, interfere with, delay, or otherwise restrict an abortion that in the good faith judgment of a treating healthcare professional is needed to protect the life, physical, or mental health of the pregnant person. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mary Catherine, but isn't that the line that guarantees abortion up until birth?
Well, it absolutely is. It guarantees abortion up until birth. And let me just say, subsection 4 is in there to give us back a little bit, to appear to give us back a little control over abortion. And the only reason it needs to give it back is because in subsections 2 and 3, it took it away.
Yeah.
And it took away all right to regulate abortion along with all other matters relating to reproductive health care. Okay, so in 4, we get a little snipped back because they think that's important to Missouri voters. But, you know, they giveth and they taketh away, because theoretically we can regulate a little bit of abortion. Again, nothing else related to reproductive, a little bit of abortion. Okay.
Well, and
that little bit is narrowed by a new definition of viability that can be determined by anyone. Viability now is no extraordinary medical measure. Let me just say, I have 4 children who were born after 34 weeks who would not meet this standard of viability. This standard of viability is like the kids ready to go to college. So, you know, far, far along in pregnancy. Okay. And then also to be determined by any treating healthcare professional, there has to be an exception for any pregnancy. And this is something only a woman can say, any pregnancy that affects the mental health of their mother. And I'm going to tell you, I have never seen a pregnancy that did not burden the mental health. And by that, the definition of mental health includes well-being. The well-being of the person carrying the baby is always affected.
Well, yeah, because you're not sleeping. I have a son. You're not sleeping.
Absolutely.
You're not comfortable. There's a lot of things at play there. So maybe you're a little stressed out. You're tired. You're overwhelmed maybe at some point.
Pregnancy
so go get an abortion.
Right. So, you know, we're talking about, and anyone, a treating healthcare professional could be a social worker.
Yeah.
Currently, in order to determine viability in Missouri, you need not one, but 2 physicians, and they have to meet a very rigorous medical standard. This new standard of viability and of mental health can be done by anybody.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it really is meaningless, right?
Mary Catherine, do you have any resources there at on the website, maybe for Thomas More, where people could go and read more of your thoughts on this?
I wish I could say yes, but Thomas More Society is a national law firm, and we're in Nebraska, we're in Missouri, so I'm the only one in Missouri fighting this fight. I have resources I can give you if you could post something.
Yes.
I have one specifically designated for where to find the gender transition implications here, that children will be able to have gender transitions without their parents' consent. I have one specifically designed for that. It's a one-pager. And I'd be happy to give it to you so you could post it. But it's very, very important that people get out their own copy of this,
yes,
highlight it, be able to talk about it. Because let me give you an example of how they're winning with ambiguity. Yesterday, I heard from a group where their signs are being taken down because the sign company has been convinced by the ACLU and other people calling that you can't say for sure that this is going to allow children to have abortions without parental notification. You can't say for sure. They won't post the signs unless it says could. It could do that, or it would do that, or it may do that. It's absolutely false. It definitely will do those things. But the lawyers at the sign company, I guess, can't see that. And so we are losing to something that even its authors can't understand.
Well, Mary Catherine, let me put you on hold, and I'll have my producer give you my email address, and I'll get that stuff posted up on our website.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You bet. Hold on just a minute. Let me put her back on hold. Mary Catherine Martin there with the Thomas More Society. Great information. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
We all know how hard they push the COVID vaccine. In fact, I would argue they're still pushing it, because you still see commercials and you hear advertisements, even on the radio, about make sure you get your latest COVID vaccine, your latest booster, number 5,871, however many boosters there are.
At least that many.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew they pushed it hard, okay? I didn't know the extent that they went to do so, okay? I found these statistics, and this is straight off the Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield website, so you yourself can go look this up. But let me just inform you about the way that they were trying to incentivize these providers to get that shot into your arm, okay? This was what was released as of 2021, okay? So this was kind of the height of the pandemic, but let me just read you some of these statistics, okay? If they got 30% of their Anthem members vaccinated, they would get a $20 bonus per vaccinated member, and it goes up from there. So if they had 75% of their Anthem members vaccinated, they were going to rake in a $125 bonus per vaccinated member. So I just want to thank you so much. If you got vaccinated, I'm not shaming you at all. By all means, that was your decision, okay? But you did make the money. So
wow.
For that, you maybe they should be saying thank you. Your provider can be like, hey, I really appreciate that money that you helped me get.
Yeah, that's pretty stunning, actually.
You helped me get that bonus.
Oh, I know.
Isn't that insane, the amount of money that they were willing to offer? And they even go as far as to list different scenarios. Like it says patient perspective, clinician response. So let's just say, for example, that the patient comes to them and says, you know, I don't know what these side effects are going to be. This is what they recommend the clinician respond with. This is, I'm quoting, yes, it is true. There have been some side effects. The most common side effect is some soreness in the ejection site. There have been a couple of people who have had severe allergic reactions that have been treated successfully in the trials. More than 40,000 people were treated, and the serious side effects were very rare. The vaccine that we have is proven to be safe, and I have taken it.
That was a script.
That was a script that they were given.
Wow.
These are possible responses you can have if people are skeptic about this vaccine.
And it's probably true that they had taken it because they were mandated to take it in order to work there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you imagine?
Well, some hospitals, I think, were actually allowing religious exemptions, believe it or not, but many weren't. I have a friend who was a nurse at SLU Hospital, and she got her job was gone because she wouldn't get vaccinated, and they wouldn't take her religious exemption, which is crap. I'm just letting you guys know this because sure enough, something like this is going to happen again. And we're going to see the same thing where they're pushing all these things that they claim have been tested and masks. And this is the junk that they're putting out. And I did not know this was a thing with Anthem pushing this hard to get people vaccinated.
Did you not get your monkeypox vaccine?
No, I was the first person in line. I wanted to make sure I got that.
Now.
Well, I got the booster too.
Oh,
yeah, I actually for bird flu, I've had that vaccine. In fact, I got a vaccine. There's a vaccine in case you're worried about getting the common cold.
Kim, we know darn good well you didn't take any of those.
You know, hair loss vaccine. I've had all of them, Mark.
Get the jab. Help Anthem.
Mosquito bite vaccine. I would be willing to get all of those.
And that's just the one we know about.
They're
Think of how many
Mark.
Other companies did the same thing.
Yeah, it's not just Pfizer pushing them. It's your dang insurance company doing the same thing, just so you know.
It's all of them. Wow. All right, coming up, we'll get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, with her takeaway on the moderators in that debate the other night. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.